This is The Takeaway. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. And all year long, people around the world have been recalling the events of 1989, 20 years ago, when the Soviet Empire in Europe collapsed, nation after nation, country after country, the Velvet Revolutions, they called them, in Hungary, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, the fall of the Berlin Wall, the embrace of democracy all across Central Europe, culminating with the final collapse of the Soviet Union itself in the early 1990s. But Christmas 1989, the revolution came to the closed, bizarre dictatorship of Nicolae Ceausescu in the nation of Romania, where the revolution was not so velvety.
Demonstrations have been continuing all through the afternoon and are still continuing now in the evening. There's been helicopters flying overhead. We've just been out 1 hour ago, and unfortunately we've seen for ourselves 8 or 9 bodies in the main street.
Yes, it was a violent revolution in Nicolae Ceausescu's Romania at Christmas time. And who was there covering it, among the reporters there covering it, was Nick Thorpe, BBC Central Europe correspondent and author of 89, The Unfinished Revolution. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, John.
You know, I was in Romania, in Bucharest, at Christmas time. And, of course, the brutal end to this takeover of the government, the killing of Nicolae Ceausescu and his wife. It began, though, with something that happened 20 years ago today, nearly right where you're standing. Describe.
That's right, John. Just very close to where I'm standing now was the house and the church of Pastor Laszlo Tőkés, a Hungarian Reformed Church priest. He was something of a dissident in Ceausescu's Romania. He'd been told he was going to be evicted from his parish. He was going to be arrested by the Securitate. His congregation gathered to try to stop that exactly 20 years ago on the 16th. They were surprised. Not only there were a few hundred of his congregation there, the crowd got bigger and bigger. Romanians from the city, Orthodox Christians, atheists, Baptists, other people just who happened to feel some element of solidarity joined that crowd. The crowd got bigger and bigger. In due course, they started not just chanting slogans to protect or in support of Pastor Tőkés, but against the regime. This was the critical moment when it turned from being an action of the street unheard of in communist Romania to defend a single priest into an action against the government, and that swelled. People marched on the Communist Party headquarters. The army opened fire, and so on, and this great wave of protest swept Romania to where you were, John, in Bucharest, to when it turned really from a rebellion into a revolution.
Into a revolution, and then really what we look back in history as more of a coup d'etat. This feeling I remember 20 years ago was that Romania would be the odd man out. It might be able to resist the wave. What were the signs visually that in Romania that revolution was taking hold 20 years ago?
There were few signs before it came up. There were the single priest standing up against the regime. There were a few dissidents, but not many dissidents. People were so afraid of the secret police at that time. I think that's why it surprised so many people what happened here. People, even the Romanians themselves, would say that Romania was like Mamaliga, the national dish made of polenta, of corn mash, basically that it would never explode.
Nice.
And so when it did explode, I think the Romanians surprised themselves with their own coverage.
Indeed.
Of braving the bullets effectively and on the barricades here.
Nick Thorpe, BBC Central Europe correspondent, remembering the moment when there was a hole in the flag, the symbol of that Romanian revolution, when they tore the Ceausescu symbol out of the Romanian flag and continued with the Velvet Revolution.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.